Have you been flirtatious with a person of the opposite sex? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Have you struggled with pornography, sexually oriented material? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Have you been prideful? Have you gossiped? Are you slothful? Are you greedy? Are you slanderous? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Lord, have I talked about somebody? Lord, have I been lazy and not done what I'm supposed to be doing? Lord, have I been greedy and envious and jealous and, Lord, tried to gather all these things for myself? Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, are you angry?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of a search for power blockages from Psalm 139. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of a search for power blockages from Psalm 139.
It's going to stick in your mind. So you've got, within the first 30 seconds of that thought being in your mind, you've got to somehow disengage with that thought. You've got to somehow move away from that thought, because if you let it stay in there for 30 seconds, it's going to become a part of your mind. And so the psalmist says here, Lord, search me. And if there are any anxious thoughts, if there are any thoughts that within that first 30 seconds that are developing, that's going to cause this to be a way of life for me, Lord, show me right then and let me get rid of it. Don't let these thoughts linger in my mind, because if you let them linger, they lead to negative patterns of behavior. And negative patterns of behavior lead to destructive ways of life. So the psalmist said, Lord, know my heart. Know my thoughts. And then he says, see if there be any wicked way. The word way refers to the path of life that somebody would travel. The psalmist says, Lord, don't let my life set up wicked grooves. Don't. They said that there was a sign somewhere up in Alaska, and it was like a bunch of, you know, grooves and divots in the road. And it says, at the beginning of the road, it says, choose your rut carefully, because you'll be in it for the next 100 miles. Choose your rut carefully, because you'll be in it for the next 100 miles. What is the psalmist saying? Choose your thoughts carefully, because they will direct your way, and you will be in it not only for the next 100 miles, but you will be in it for a lifetime. Psalmist says, Lord, see if there be any wicked way. Any way in me that's leading, that's going to cause me to get in a rut, that I'm going to be following a pattern of life for the next 20, 30, even a lifetime, years. The psalmist cries out, know my heart, know my thoughts, and know my way. Know my way that I'm going. A God-centered examination. Then he moves to a self-centered renunciation. In verse 24, he said, and if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. He said, Lord, if you see anything in my thoughts, if you see anything in my heart, he said, if you see anything in my way, Lord, take me out of that way and lead me in the way that's everlasting. Oh, God, don't let me get caught up in these negative patterns of life, because what they do is they block my prayer life. Lord, that when I get in these negative ways, that then the power is cut off between me and you. So, Lord, show me of anything in my life that's going to stop the flow of power between me and you. In your notes, I'd ask that you read along with me. I have a quote in there from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. He's written a commentary on the Psalms. It's called The Treasury of David. And Spurgeon says this about this self-centered renunciation. He said, see whether there be in my heart or in my life any evil habit unknown to myself. If there be any evil way, take it from me. Take it from me, no matter how dear the wrong may have become, nor how deeply prejudiced I may have been in its favor. Be pleased to deliver me from there altogether, effectually, and at once, that I may tolerate nothing which is contrary to thy mind. As I hate the wicked in their way, so would I hate every wicked way in myself. Now, if you go back to verse 18 or verse 19, look what he says. Surely, in Psalm 139, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those who rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them as enemies. And then what did Spurgeon say? Spurgeon said, with the same hatred I have toward those people that take your name in vain, that don't like you, the same hatred, what did he say? Let me hate any wicked. The same hatred that I have for that person that takes your name in vain, that cries out against you, that wicked person who is bloodthirsty, that wicked person who is devouring the righteous, Lord, the same hatred that I have for that individual, Lord, let me have the same hatred for any wicked way in me. But you know, Lord, that, man, they're so evil. They're so wicked. But I'm such a good person. I'm such a great individual. And then we wonder why our prayers are not being answered. We wonder why our prayers are blocked. And God is looking at our hearts, and there's some wickedness in our heart, and God is trying to get us to deal with the wickedness in our heart, but we don't see it because we are wearing the lies clothes, and we can't see the naked truth. On the back of your notes, I put a sheet in there that I use to go over with the deacons every month at the deacons meeting. We've done it for the last couple deacons meetings. But these are called accountability questions. Somebody will say, well, how can I do this examination? How can I open up my heart and ask God to search me and know my heart? Well, I'm going to show you right here. Here's a very specific way that you can do it. Now, some of these I'll kind of gloss over because we're looking specifically where the psalmist said any wicked way. Devotionally, accountability questions. Have you spent regular time with God in Bible reading, prayer, and worship? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Is there any unresolved conflict between me and my wife, or my husband, or somebody in my family? Lord, see, is there any wicked way in me? Have I neglected my spouse or my family in any way? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Have I spent time in prayer and devotion with my family and my spouse? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Have I spent quality time cultivating my marriage? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Have I served my spouse and my family? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Let's move to your job. All right, let's move to your job. Have I given an honest day's work on my job? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Have you taken materials from your job? Whoa! Unauthorized. Now here again. Now you know, I guess that's a relative point right there, because you know, sometimes if we work at home or something like that, then we gotta, you know, so you know, it's relative. This point, it's relative. You know whether you've taken them unauthorized. The operative word, unauthorized. All right. See if there be any wicked way in me. What about my personal life? Is there any ongoing unresolved sin in my life? Is there any daily thing that you're struggling with, any sin that you, every day that you find it jumping up in your face? Have you committed any sexual sin? You know, have you viewed any pornography? Have you, even if you move to the next one, have you looked lustfully after another person? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Have I committed unbiblical sex acts? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Have you been alone in a compromising situation? Have you been flirtatious with a person of the opposite sex? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Have you struggled with pornography, sexually oriented material? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Have you been prideful? Have you gossiped? Are you slothful? Are you greedy? Are you slanderous? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Lord, have I talked about somebody? Lord, have I been lazy and not done what I'm supposed to be doing? Lord, have I been greedy and envious and jealous and, Lord, try to gather all these things for myself? Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, are you angry at somebody right now? Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Are you bitter with someone right now? Maybe somebody did something to you 5 years ago, and you're still holding it in. Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Maybe there's somebody that just did something to you yesterday, another saint in the body of Christ that you had it out. You had a knockdown, drag-out confrontation, and now you are angry. You're bitter. Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Maybe you're jealous of another person. Maybe a brother or sister got something that you didn't get, and you're jealous now. Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Do you have an unforgiving spirit? Somebody said, well, what is an unforgiving spirit? An unforgiving spirit is not, it doesn't mean that you forget, because some things you can never forget. It doesn't mean that you don't remember, you know, because there's some things that you always remember. But what is a forgiving spirit? A forgiving spirit looks at the person that has offended you, the person that has committed an offense against you, and it says that I released you from the prison of my life. That I've been holding you in a prison because you hurt me, you wounded me, and because I've been holding you in this prison, it's been wearing me out, it's been slapping me in the head, it's been knocking me down, and God has been convicting me about it. And so what I'm going to do, because I don't want to continue to go through this chastisement and having the heavy hand of God on my life, I open up the prison doors of forgiveness and I release you from being held accountable for what you did to me. I release you. See, some people are harboring that unforgiveness. And then you go down to pray, and you pray, and you wonder why God is not answering your prayer. And it's because you still are harboring that unforgiveness in your heart. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe that there is something in your life that's causing you to be fearful. You know, one of the things that Jesus spoke to, I believe, more than anything else was the people's fear. He gave a whole discourse in the book of Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount when he said, look, behold, the birds of the air. He said, they don't spin and they don't toil. Yet, look how well they are taken care of. Your Heavenly Father taking care of them. Why are you so faithless? And so some people are worried. They're fearful. They're anxious. And if we're fearful and we're anxious, there's a way in us that can hinder our prayer life. See if there be any wicked way in me. What about your integrity? Have you been completely above reproach in your financial dealings? When you did your income tax, were you above board? You know, I my wife had told me to go to Subway. Well, I told her I was going to Subway, and I was going to get some sandwich. I asked her if she wanted one, and she said, yeah, and she said, get one for my granddaughter. And so, you know, I went to Subway, and got the sandwiches for me and her. And then for my granddaughter, they had like a little kid's meal. And so, you know, I got the kid's meal, bought that, and lady said, well, you can get your drink out of the cooler. So I went over and got the drink. And when I got home, my wife told me, she said, did you buy that apple juice? Where'd you get the apple? Because I got one of the big apple juice. She said, did you buy the apple juice? I said, well, you know, the lady told me that there was a drink that went with it, and I just went and got it out of the cooler. She said, well, there were some other drinks in there that you were supposed to get. You weren't supposed to get that one. I said, oh, man. So I went back to Subway, and I told them, I said, look, I was here, and I got an apple juice for my granddaughter. My wife told me I was supposed to get one of the small ones, and I went and got one of the big ones. And they said, okay, that's all right. Just go ahead and take it. I was in Philadelphia this past week. I don't know what it is about these apple juices. I was in Philadelphia, and I went down there. They were serving breakfast, but I didn't want to eat breakfast. You know, all I wanted was the apple juice. And I went down there, and I asked the waiter. I said, hey, look, I want to get apple juice. And he went and reached in the cooler, and he gave it to me. And he said, here, just take it. Just take it. And I took it. And I went back to my room, and I couldn't drink that apple juice. Because I was not supposed to pay for this thing. And he just gave it to me. And I went down there, and I was talking to some saints, and I was telling the saints, I went there, and, you know, this waiter, you know, told me to go ahead and take the apple juice, and I took it, and I said, I know I was supposed to pay for that. And I said, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to tell them that, you know, I didn't pay for this. And somebody said, well, you're going to get the waiter in trouble. You know, if you go back, he might lose his job. So I went back, and I went in there, and I went and got a bagel. And I came to the register, and there was a lady there. And she said, okay, I'll charge you for the bagel. And I said, well, I got apple juice, too. And she said, well, go ahead and back there and get it. I said, no, I said, that's all right. I said, all right, it's already taken care of. She said, well, where's your apple juice? I said, all right, I already got it. I said, I already got it. And so she charged me for the bagel and the apple juice. I was cool. I mean, you know, and that thing was just, it was just on me. That I just, you know, I might have started drinking the apple juice and started choking, man. So I had to go back and pay for it. And the thing was $2.50, man. I said, oh. I was going to say, maybe I shouldn't have, no. But you know, God sees these things. And God looks at our heart. And God understands these. So, you know, we ask the question, have you been completely above reproach in your financial dealings? Have you been trustworthy? Have you lied? Have you stolen? Have you cheated? Have you been dishonest? Or have you been manipulative? You know, one of the things that we talked about is your health. You know, have you been taking care of your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, with rest, sleep, exercise, healthy eating? You know, what about any addictions? You know, as far as, now I'm gonna tell you one thing. I see what, you gotta be careful when you start taking this pain medication. I'm gonna give some of y'all the heads up on this one. I'm gonna give you the 911 on the 411. You know, because when I was dealing with that, I mean, I started taking this pain medication, and you know, it was taking away the pain. It was doing a good job. And it was one night that I wasn't in pain. There was one night I wasn't in pain. You know what? And it was, you got to be careful, man. That stuff will suck you in. And so, you know, we got to say, you know, God, you know, I mean, once again, as we do this search, you know, search me, oh God, and know my thoughts, know my heart, Lord. Get down to the very intentions of even my reason for taking pain medication. See, when you begin to, see, saints, this is what we're doing now. I'm going to tell you what we're doing. By you being here today, you're ratcheting it up another level. Because, see, the average person don't want to get this deep. Remember what I said? What did he say? He said, search me. What does that mean? The probe. And there's going to be some areas that might be what? That might hurt. that might be painful. And I got to be honest with them. And I got to be honest with myself and say, you know, it would have been very easy for me to get swept up into that thing, you know, even when I wasn't hurting, you know, to continue to roll on with that. All right, now, and some of y'all, you know, I might be preaching to somebody this morning beyond Pastor Glaze. All right? So, you know, you got to do that examination, Lord. Get down to the point. Lord, why am I taking these painkillers? All right? And as Forrest Gump would say, that's all I got to say about that. Now, here goes one right here. Now, I'm doing a lot better. I'm doing better, saints. I'm doing better. But gluttony, you know, sometimes we gotta look at that. I'm getting a little quiet in here. But see, I can talk about it. Because you know where I'm going today, right? When I leave here, you know where I'm going this afternoon. But you know, sometimes, you know, you gotta watch that. You know, I mean, and you know, it's all right to enjoy a meal, you know, that's all right, but now you enjoying meals every day. You know, if you fill up your plate 2 and 3 times a day and they need to put sideboards on it, then yeah, I don't know then. All right. So I mean, your health. You know, you got to be accountable for your health. Your ministry. You know, have you shared your faith? Are you robbing God financially? Are you serving God faithfully in the ministry He's called you to? Now, have you been faithful in attending the worship services? So this is just a little accountability sheet as we go to this whole idea of what does it mean when we ask God to search us? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And I guarantee you, if you will just spend some time prayerfully going through this sheet right here, you know, God will search your heart. He will rake you over the coals. And then we see a action-centered dedication. He concludes by saying, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, lead me in the way everlasting. The psalmist, if you'll look at your notes and we'll close out, the psalmist requests God to tenderly guide him out of the way of trouble into the everlasting way. And what is this everlasting way? There's two views as to what the everlasting way is. Somebody said it's the way that opposes the way that perishes. You know, that there's one way that lasts forever, and there's one way that perishes. So, Lord, don't lead me in the way that perishes. Well, what is the way that perishes? If I get hooked on drugs and I start going down that way, what's the end of that road? Destruction. Destruction. If I start excessively drinking, then what's the end of that way? The end of that way is sickness, suffering. If I become involved in illegal activities, what's the end of that way? The end of that way is destruction. Or somebody said the way refers to the old ancient way pursued by the prophets, the patriarchs, and the saints of old. Lord, lead me in the way that godly people before me have followed. Let me look at the saints who have walked the godly way, and Lord, lead me in the way that godly saints have followed. A search for power blockages in your life. The psalmist requests that the Lord would search him. So I'm going to challenge you today and ask you, you know, will you call for an examination and ask God to show you if there's any power blockages in your life? If there's anything in your life that's blocking the power from flowing in your life.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Degree Beyond Our Reach from Psalm 139. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Search for Power Blockages, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Search for Power Blockages. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request a search for power blockages, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.